is it. We're rolling. It's episode 540 of No Laugh Track Podcast here in Minneapolis, Minnesota at Acme Comedy Company. My name is Justin Severs, and I get to host this each and every week. My guest this week, who you're looking at right now, if you're on YouTube, if you're just audio only, I'm going to tell you who it is. It is Shane Torres, who has not been here since we talked was April 2021.
That's crazy.
Yeah, man.
Oh. I can't believe it's been that long, almost 3 years.
I know, and I'm even thinking, like, did we miss each other?
But that's because I was looking at the autograph wall last night.
Yeah.
And I was like, I mean, I think I signed it every time I'm here, you know?
We did have a thing. Chris Porter was here a couple weeks ago, and he found out that he might have missed a week signing that thing. So,
oh.
You don't think you did that? You didn't miss it?
No, because I could probably go back into my calendar and look.
Yeah.
I could look to the week I was last here that we know I was here. But I would think that I haven't been here in a minute.
Yeah.
That's just crazy.
Yeah, 2021. Before that, it was like in the middle of August 2020 when things were really weird around here.
That's when I was here right before.
That was weird.
I remember.
The last time we were here in 2021, we were still not at capacity.
You were half capped, all right?
Yes. Thank God that is fucking in the past.
Yeah. You know what's so weird about that? This is, you know, like, I know you guys know this, and people who listen to this podcast probably know this, but, like, people love this club a lot. Like, genuinely, comics love it. And that was, like, one of those things of, like, this club was still so good that even that time when we were at half cap and people, the energy of the rooms were very different, you know, was still, like, one of the highlights of that year, comedically, for me.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Because it was still fun, still better than most places, you know, like... Still better than this crippled to 40% of its function or whatever it was still really fucking fun.
Yeah,
I think Sam Evans was with me
one of those times.
Yeah, I think the 21 was because we drove.
Okay,
which was because we didn't want to fly. Bizarre too. Jesus Christ, man, what a nutty thing to think about.
You're not driving everywhere anymore, thankfully, right?
No, thank God. Yeah, not that. Jesus Christ, no. But yeah, that was quite a while ago. Damn.
Speaking of that, and I don't remember how long ago this was. Maybe, it was your tweet or post somewhere that I saw, and I think I started asking people about this on the podcast. It was about traveling on airplanes, and it was you wanted people to help settle a debate on where your overhead bag should go.
Oh,
should it
go
above your seat, or is it okay to go not above your seat?
It is.
Do you remember asking this?
Yeah, it got a little crazy.
Was there a consensus?
The consensus I came to with that was that everyone was certain they were correct. It is really...
Isn't that the thing in just about everything, though, yeah, Shane?
It was, but how firm everyone was in not wanting to negotiate, like... People would be like, well, what about this? You know, the tone was just like you could feel it in the comments of the post that it were like, it was, I don't want to say everyone was combative, but everyone was absolutely 100% indefinite that they had the right answer, one. And two, if somebody challenged them on it, it wasn't always aggressive, but it was definitely like no one here is backing up. It was crazy. And that, so what it taught me was like, I found out a couple of things. One, that's how miserable airline travel is that everyone thinks they are right about something. Like, no one's willing to learn shit or be adjust in any way. That's how, cattle called it.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Two, that the airlines say there is no assigned luggage space except for first-class passengers in that area, right? And that's just because they pay more.
Right.
So there is always a solution. You just have to... They are willing to provide a solution for you if you are willing to pay for it, is what airlines... As somebody who spends a lot of money on airline tickets every fucking year.
Yeah.
And three, the other thing I learned is that is... What that does for them is give them wiggle room that they don't have to start constricting any other rules. They don't have to be responsible for it's like legal precedent almost. Like they won't if they don't start getting involved about putting luggage up, they won't have to get involved about other things.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And I have no...
this conflict we have nothing to do with, right?
No. Yeah, kind of, yeah. They're hands off. They'll tell you everything that you have to do except for something that's like a huge problem on the flights.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that we all do have to deal with.
Yeah, and now they're like... It's insane. Like, Delta's, I'm their top tier frequency program.
Nice.
And now they have raised, they tried to raise the amount of dollars you had to spend to stay at that program.
Yes.
Yeah, like, it was like, they raised it above, like, 80, I can't remember what it was, like, maybe 60%. And then they dropped it to, like, it's still, like, 25%. You know, like, there's a 25% increase in what you have to spend. Flights are getting more expensive. They're making seats smaller. And they are giving you less. And they're pulling benefits away from tiers.
And you're sticking with them.
Well, look, it's one of these things. I'm like, if there was an airline that was just like, hey, we'll honor your status at this place. We're going to buy like 50 new plane, 50 new jets to accommodate people like flying out. Like, you, even if I was like, say, I'm a Delta guy, but if the American was like, we'll give you the tier below our top tier and give you the status you had, and then you can earn it. And this, you were even paying the same price.
Yeah.
As you would, like, you're going into the same amount of money as Delta. But what will not happen anymore is you will not get, like, bumped up for 5 to 10 years. You will not get a price increase in what your tier needs to be for 5 to 10 years.
Yeah.
You know, like, that would be huge. But they, like... They telling people that they like have the Delta lounge cards that there's limits on that now and that kind of shit. It's insane. Oh God, I don't want to keep talking about it because it's like I'm sure it's exhausted. I'm literally doing airline coverage on a podcast about. I don't know if this could get.
Let's talk about the snacks. No, I'm kidding.
Is this get more inverted? Yeah.
Let's talk about last night. While you're here, you had a show.
Yeah, it was good. It was a good one last night.
I thought so too. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, you weren't here. You were saying, you're a liar. Justin listened to the stream, but he wants you guys all to think he was here, but he wasn't. I blew you up.
No one knows the truth but you or me.
Yeah, I know.
Maybe you're lying now.
And your listeners now.
Maybe you're lying, maybe I am.
Oh, and this is a real luggage space kind of thing we got going.
Well, the one thing I can tell you, whether I was here or listening someplace else, is that it was fantastic.
Thanks, man. Must have been pretty good if you heard it that well all the way at home.
Yeah. Over a state line.
Yeah. Are you in a different state?
I actually live in Wisconsin now, yes.
Where are you at?
Hudson, the first city right over the border.
Okay.
It's, you know, half hour from here.
Why'd you do that?
Needed a place to move. When you rent a home and the person that's renting it to you says that they're going to sell.
Ah.
And then you kind of have to scramble to find a place that's affordable. You get what you can.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And that's why I'm...
So you're renting out there now?
That's right. Yeah. Yes.
Well, I hope you get... Do you like it?
Love it.
Yeah?
Love it. I love it. Born and raised in Minnesota, and turns out I actually like it just barely over the border.
Yeah? Okay, yeah. Well. Uh-huh.
And you can still hear the shows from Akron. Close enough to drive over here at least once a week, if not twice a week. But I thought last night was fantastic. I thought it was very interesting that you came out after the feature act and address the crowd very similarly to part of an interview I read with you. Does this sound very confusing? It's about I read an interview with you this morning right after last night hearing you about setting the tone.
Okay.
Okay. In this someone asked you about setting the tone. You said, I wouldn't necessarily say I'm a slow starter, but I would say I don't get the jokes right away. I kind of take a breath. It's very strange to come out and be like, here are jokes. The tone needs to be set. If the person before me is a super high-energy act, I need to let them know the roller coaster is over and I need to settle them into my ride.
I said that?
Well, in different words, but you addressed the crowd last night saying like...
No, but I said that in the interview?
Yes, sir.
What do you think? I think that's pretty good.
I think it's real good.
Yeah. I think, you know, I do, look, the Joey the Hamburger, the guy who's featuring this week, is very, very funny.
Yes.
And
very high energy.
Yeah, very high energy. And he is, like, doing his own thing.
Yeah.
It's not, he's like, creative and he's smart. And he's like, but the energy is high, you know? And I think that's a bit of an adjustment to shift. Like, I don't think I'm the lowest energy comic, but but I definitely, like, I do think that I move in a pace that's my own.
Yeah.
And I kind of, take a few rounds to not figure it out in the sense that it's like, I think it's still exciting, like, and it's entertaining comedy, but I come on a ramp, like, and then I shoot off of it. Joey is at the top of the hill with his skis pointed down already. So when he starts, yeah, you know, so I think that's a little, just in a bit adjustment. I don't want to, like, I have to find a way to, like, use that energy for my set, and it's probably not going to be coming out like maybe on like as like amped as he is.
Sure.
Yeah. So I think that's how I do it. Like, I like kind of like, you know, I wade into the pool, and he cannonballs in.
Oh. Yeah. That works.
Yeah.
That works.
Yeah.
I want to talk more about last night, but I need to point out that if people for some reason haven't watched, you have a special that came out since the last time you were here, certainly.
Yeah, 2 months ago now. Yeah, it's doing okay. People seem to be watching it.
My wife and I watched it, maybe 3 weeks ago or so.
Oh, thanks, man. Yes. Yeah. What'd you think?
I loved it.
Yeah.
And my wife was like, wait a minute, who is this? I said, Shane Torres. Yeah, I like him.
Oh, that's great.
Uh-huh.
Tell her thank you, please.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great stuff.
Thanks, man.
So I want to know, for people who don't know, where did you record that?
We did it at the Sultan Room in Brooklyn, which is a little indie rock club.
Okay.
But it's interesting. The people who opened it are all Minneapolis kids.
Oh.
Yeah. 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 Did you ever hear of a place, a dinner or a supper club called the Turks Inn in Wisconsin? It's like a famous...
No.
It was like a famous road. They like are all guys. Some of them, they're like Minneapolis artists, but some of them are from different parts of Wisconsin as well, and then like kind of make their names here.
Sure, sure.
But that it shut down. It was this incredibly beautiful slash tacky, cool place in the middle of Wisconsin.
Oh, okay.
And when it shut down, these guys went and bought a bunch of the whole bar and everything, a lot of the aesthetic.
Love it.
A lot of the aesthetic in there. And,
moved it to New York?
Yeah, and then opened a venue in the back of it. So it's like a restaurant slash...
Oh, no rock. Shit.
Yeah, but they... so there's kind of a Minneapolis tie to the special.
How did you choose that place?
My roommate is the booker. My old roommate is the booker.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, yeah.
Kind of meant to be then.
Yeah, yeah. And I was like, it looks different. You know, it's like... Kyle Cadane, you know, he just shot his special here. It's great.
Of course.
Yeah. But...
Available now?
Available now, Dirt Nap. But he, you know, he picked a cool place to do it and everything, which is great. But like, I was like, I think I need to do something a little different because so many people were doing comedy clubs and taping at the Cellar or doing big theaters. And I was like, I just wanted to look a little bit different. And I think it does that.
Okay.
You know, yeah.
Yeah, I was very
curious. And the color looks good, mm-hmm. You know, like... I think it's aesthetically it's pretty pleasing.
Were there any near mishaps or anything? Close calls.
If there were, they did a good job of not letting me know about it, which is preferred. Like if they were like, "Oh, one of the cameras missed up," I'd be like probably freaking out knowing it's something I could not control even though we had plenty of coverage and stuff on
Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine.
Two shows? How many did you record?
Two shows. It was like, the room, I would say, is a little bit smaller capacity than here, but we kind of cut that in half because of all the cameras.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so we had like six cameras, I think, seven angles. So we did I think we did about 130 people each show. So it's very intimate feeling, I think. Yeah.
Oh, it's great. You can't... I don't know if you could, if you would have told me there was 500 people in there, I would have been like, oh, yeah, there's 500 people in there.
No,
yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, there were 500. it was huge. But, yeah,
1,500.
No. Yeah, but we did that in March. That's coming up on a year ago. Next week.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So then, because of that, you're doing new material.
Yeah, it's all new right now. I mean, like, you know, like, some of it's already on the internet in some form or another, but, like, it's all, on this weekend, the full form bits are, like, not on the internet. There's like little lines and stuff out there, so it's coming along, but it's a whole new act, and I think I'm gonna try and record another one by the end of the year.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, because you're in the still working on stuff phase,
mm-hmm.
How different would like let's say if somebody was here Wednesday night and then came back Saturday, how many tweaks do you think you have in a few days at a comedy club? You're listening. Are you listening back? to last night?
I'm listening back right now. I'm rebuilding that habit. I used to be great about it, and now I'm getting better about it again. But I would say I probably have...
Will you drop anything entirely? 50,
yeah. We'll drop something. I have like two chunks that I'm kind of moving in and out. So as far as the hour goes for the weekend, like last night I left out a big like 5-minute story.
Okay.
And now I will do, and I will put that back in tonight and probably drop something else.
Okay.
So that's kind of how I'm tweaking. And then I'm tweaking the bits themselves. I guess that's just the structure of the hour, but the bits themselves, I'm trying to find ways to like, I just need to sit down and do the nitty-gritty dirty work and get in of it. So that's probably what I'm going to do after this.
Gotcha.
After I go to the bank.
Gotcha. I had...
So I don't know exactly the number, but it's there'll definitely be some changes.
Yeah. Yeah, I think... I hope people find that very interesting, like I do. I've never heard the term, or at least if I have, I don't remember, rope cutter.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty gross. Seems to get the attention of people, though.
I'm just going to leave that one there. People can Google that. Yeah. You're not doing the joke here. I'm just going to say rope cutter. The term rope cutter is involved in your act these days. James Adomian was here last week, of course, known for doing some of the best impressions around.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know that you do any impressions except one I heard in the act last night of a Russian doctor.
Yeah, I mean, that's more of a voice than an impression. Yeah. That's the kind of way I will change things, though. Like, I will try and, like, that's not... a great voice of a Russian doctor. You know, like, it's not, you can tell what I'm trying to do. It doesn't sound like not like it, but it's like, I need to put that's where, like, I will probably put in some work today instead of being like, I need to be like, come here. You know, like, I need to be a little more accurate in those ways.
Okay.
And like, I think that will sell that joke much better.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought that was a good one.
Thank you, man.
I thought that was a good one. Let's see, what else did I bring up? Oh, there's a, it's funny because you addressed it later on. You have a whole chunk about it starts off talking about nurses.
Yeah.
And kind of taking them to task.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah, I think it's a funny way to start that joke.
It's super funny.
Yeah.
Especially because of the last couple,
Yeah, yeah. And I love nurses. I love nurses, but
And then you tell the crowd that why you have a love of nurses.
Yeah, my mom was a nurse. Yeah.
Same. My mom was a nurse.
Yeah,
what
department?
So a few different ones. She worked in a pain clinic for a while. She worked in recovery.
Okay.
After surgeries, recovery for
post-op
a while.
Post-op stuff, yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my mom was labor and delivery and women's health a lot. Yeah. But, they all work in a little bit of different stuff, I guess. But yeah.
She's happily retired now.
Yeah, nurses are the best, man.
Yeah. They are the best.
That bit would lead you to believe that I think otherwise. But
yes!
I'm really just trying to, like... nag a cute young nurse into dating me. Finally complete my final Freudian.
Well, I really want an update.
I really like doing this podcast because, like, I think you actually like take an interest in the comedy.
Yes, thank
you.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a so like when we're talking, I'm like, oh, that's kind of an idea that could maybe work in a bit. Maybe that's kind of an idea that could work in a bit. Yeah,
I really appreciate you saying that.
Yeah,
and
it shows really, like, you know, yeah.
So
I wouldn't do this if I didn't, if I minded doing it.
Thank you. Yeah. Along those lines, I think something I actually really hesitated to bring up to you probably like in 2020 when you were on the podcast is actually part of your act now.
What's it?
Talking about Anthony Bourdain.
Oh, and that story, yeah.
Where I brought it up to you, I was like, hey, I don't know if you remember, I asked you on the podcast once, I was like, now that he's died and you... talk about him, like, you don't necessarily badmouth him, but there's a line.
Well, I say what I did in the bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember
asking
you about that.
For context of this, like, I had that joke about Guy Fieri go viral. And there's a part in it where I take Anthony Bourdain to task because so many people loved him and hated Guy Fieri.
Yes.
So that's the crux of it.
Yeah.
I
remember asking you about that on the podcast. Like, are you getting a different reaction mentioning that now?
I got a few, like, little things. Nothing crazy, but some people have been like, and I'm going to be like, look at the fucking, look at it, man. You know, like,
right.
Look at when I did this. Like, but whatever. So I talk about what that bit did for me at a moment.
Yeah.
And then I talk about how it kind of unraveled on stage. So
it's such a good, that set or that whole bit is fucking fantastic. It's a great closer, too.
Thank you. It's coming along right now. You know, there's definitely not the ending on that joke is not, on that story is not good yet, though. Okay. You know, it's not bad, but there are some very good-sized pops in the bit.
Yes.
That's the problem with having great pops and all through a joke is not that they're all great pops. But they are all great pops. Fuck it. is that you need to have a bigger one at the end.
Okay. Sure.
You know, or at least a turn, something that like.
Sure.
And it doesn't necessarily have to be a pop, but you need to have something that's going to make them strap up on it a little bit and like it.
I don't know if you're going to. I will often like look up stories about people's, like I've done it with you in the past, look up stories about Fort Worth, where you're from.
Mm-hmm.
Or like since there was the part of this joke is about nurses, the one we had been talking about. I just put nurse into a Google search. Like, what kind of weird news story would come up about nurses today? All right. I didn't look at the story.
We're doing a game right now?
I'm just going to give you the headline.
Okay.
Nurse died after being kicked in the testicles by patient. Did you know that was a thing?
Is you can be kicked in the testicles so hard you die?
Yeah. How worried do we need to be about that?
More on an emotional level than a physical one. But, I mean, I've definitely had girls make me so mad that I didn't want to have sex for a while. That hurt me so badly. I haven't been assaulted to that degree, but speaking from personal experience, it hurts the most in here.
In here. I also found out. Part of that story that you were referencing, the closer, right? Mm-hmm. It takes place at Bonnaroo.
Yeah.
If you would have told me Bonnaroo takes place in California and has for 50 years, I'd have been like, oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was Tennessee. Just a little side.
Yeah, it's Manchester, Tennessee.
Had no idea.
Yeah, it does sound like a California thing, but it's like. It's so much fun. I want to go back to it, but...
Not as a participant, obviously.
I would love to as a participant now, but we'll see. We'll see if that ever happens again.
That
story is like definitely being flushed out and like, you know, it's slightly infantilized at the moment. Yeah.
Sure, sure. Another part of your act is you reference a lake in Texas where you're from.
Yeah.
Possum Kingdom.
Yeah.
And then I thought, why the hell does that sound familiar?
You know why, yeah.
Do you want to?
Yeah.
The freaking song.
The Toadies, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
I had no idea that
was a lake. Yeah, it's a lake.
Had no idea.
Yeah. Around the lake tonight, by my side. Big, big hit, mid-90s. Toadies were like North Texas answer to the Pixies, kind of.
Sure.
Yeah.
Because they're from like weird area, do you take like a pride in them?
I think they're a great band. Definitely like heavily influenced by the Pixies, I think. Sure. But I'm not a musician really. But Rubberneck is an awesome album, and okay. Then Hell Below Stars Above is really good too. I don't know, and I kind of lost track of them after that. But
are they still a band?
Yeah, I think they're kind of a legacy. Like they were at Gramercy Theater in New York. I saw them a few years ago. I can't remember if it was. I think it was Poe. It might have been pre-COVID, might have been post, I can't recall. But, you know, it was 3 years ago, maybe 4 years ago, and it could be before. But they still had, like, you know, 500 people show up. You know, like, they still had a crowd. You know, like, it was still, like, cool to see, you know?
This is reminding me of something you and Kyle were talking about on a recent episode of your podcast. You said you had done a show recently and saw a band, a poster that was from a band. God, I can't remember who it was. Oh, the Verve Pipe.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, the freshman, yeah. For the life of me, I cannot remember.
And your point to Kyle was like, hey, it's kind of cool to, like, this band that I, you know, remember and that I know about. Like,
I do love that still. Yeah.
Playing in the same place. His response to that was fucking priceless.
What did he say?
He paused and was like, yeah, but let's be clear. Let's keep it clear between their downfall and your rise, basically.
Yeah. Well, the few nice things he said to me. No, I mean, I understand that, but it is like, there is a sense of nostalgia even attached to a band like that I didn't ever really like, but remember that song being
sure.
You know, I was young. I was 15.
Yeah.
You know, like, maybe younger, older, I don't know. But, like, you know, like, that was a huge fucking song.
Oh, absolutely.
And, you know, I was like, that's a rock star. Those were rock star. I have no idea who the fucking guy is or anything like that. Right. But to me, that's interesting to think about.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, most people I know from then will remember that song and remember, like, you know, and would probably see that band. Like, you know, like, if they're near the town I grew up in, then maybe, yeah, that would be fun. If they knew about it, like, they got nothing to do. Like, I might go, you know.
For sure.
So it's kind of interesting to me. It's like, I'm not putting myself at the peak of their fame or anything like that yet. But, like, or, right. You know, even that they're in the same place as me now or vice versa. But it was just one of these things of, like, hey, man, you fucking, there's some perspective that it's like, you're doing, I am very hard on myself and where I'm at in my career. And the more I talk about this, it helps me at some points realize that I have a very long way to go.
Sure. Okay.
But that they are also, you know, like, when I started, I probably would have been like, that's amazing that I, like, if I knew I was going to be filling and playing venues.
Yeah.
That one-hit wonders who still fill venues, even though they're smaller now. And I don't say one-hit wonders to be mean, but just what this guy, that right. band happens to be a bit of.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want to be a one-hit wonder. But it's like, there's some appreciation in it, and there's also some, like, motivation in it.
Sure.
Yeah. And trepidation of that.
So the last time you were here, I don't think you had started that podcast yet. If I remember.
Well, if we had, it was a turd.
You know, like, it was underground?
It took us a while to get it right, honestly. we're having a hard time with it, yeah.
Well, what do you think about it now? You must.
I think we're going in the right direction.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're doing a good job. I would like to see us ramp it up a bit and get like a lot of listeners going and stuff, but I think we're doing really good.
No Accounting for Taste is what it's called.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You sort of, you know, I've listened to some. It's not a full hour on one topic necessarily. It's sort of.
I mean, we try to.
Yeah.
But it's like in the past few months, we have really, I think, hit our stride with, like, the knock on wood. But I think we're going in the right direction. With
yeah.
It. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
The most recent one, of course.
What was the most?
If you ever had a guest on something like that, this guy right here would have been the perfect one for that. You're talking about parody songs, Dr. Demento, Weird Al.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm a lifelong Weird Al fan.
Oh, yeah.
I'm one of those people.
Kyle loves him, man. Yeah. Yeah. People really do love him, man. It's kind of cool to see. He's a legacy act.
Dr. Demento, I used to listen to every Sunday evening playing his parody shows on the radio.
Yeah.
His syndicated show. And then back in 2011, 10 or so, there was a radio conference that used to come every year to Minneapolis, the Conclave. And I volunteered to work there. Went to the bathroom. One of my days was volunteering. And who walked out of the fucking stall?
DD.
In his underwear.
That's awesome.
Dr. Demento. He was changing clothes into his, if people don't know, he's kind of wears like a tuxedo.
Yeah.
His,
that's fucking
what
cool,
he's
right?
known to be wearing.
But you're a huge parody song guy?
Yeah, I love him.
Yeah?
Yeah, love him. Love
that's
him.
Funny.
Love him.
That's hilarious.
I still somewhere have like the mixed, like I used to freaking put tapes in and record.
That's sick, dude.
The shows.
Really?
Yes, I still have.
You should upload them. You find a way somewhere. To like transcribe those.
I should. If you look, yeah. Copies of that show from back then, like the syndicate, they would send them to radio stations like in a CD.
Yeah.
Those are worth a lot of money. Go on eBay. They're highly collectible.
That's fucking awesome.
Highly, highly collectible. Who knew?
Yeah,
right?
I mean, he had a real cult fandom. It's
yeah.
insane. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's fucking sick.
Who comes up with the topics for the show?
Fans, us. We just go back. Like, we have a thread with Charlene, our producer. We'll just kind of be like, what about this? And so we'll be like, yeah, I like it. I don't. You know, and she'll just add it to the sheet.
Sure.
You know, like, so it's kind of everything, you know, and then sometimes one of us will find something we're very passionate about. Like tomorrow, we're recording an episode on church.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Church.
Yeah.
Well, that's not a controversial topic. People don't have any opinions on that.
Yeah, well, it's like, I think we're kind of, it'll be like a twofold kind of thing because, like, you think about church as, like, the chore that it was when you were a child, and then you think of it as a construct and, like, what it's done and hasn't done. So you're because, you know, some people still get a lot out of church, even though there's nothing to do with all the bad shit that happens.
Sure.
So we're going to see how this goes. Yeah. It'll be interesting. Yeah.
I was one of those people dragged every week.
Yeah.
I think it's still one of the reasons why I hate dressing up, like wearing nice clothes. As a kid, that's the only time I was asked to dress up, you know? Put your dress socks on.
Yeah.
Put your dress shoes on.
That's troublesome, too. I didn't think about that. Yeah. I might bring that up. That's an interesting thought.
Mm-hmm. That's the first thing that comes to mind is how much I hated wearing dress shoes.
And now you're in a very casual manner.
Oh, I mean, I've done everything in my professional life.
How often a year do you put on a suit?
0.5?
Yeah, like maybe not even once a year.
Yeah, absolutely. Skip several years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
I would say I'm usually at a wedding or some kind of event once or a few times a year.
Sure. Even those things, people dress more casual these days.
Yes, for sure they do. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. You mentioned from stage last night that you have merch.
Yeah, so I got. You didn't see them?
Of course I did. I want you to describe them,
buddy. What was the merch?
I'm going to pull a fast one on you. I saw them backstage, so I know.
Oh, you prick. Yeah, you said you got it.
I won't do it to you.
Yeah, no, that's great.
I know exactly what they look like. They have your face on them.
Yeah.
And they say Shane Torres.
Yeah.
And it was kind of dark back there.
Selling fun shirts. It's a wild look at my face from this photo my friend Jordan Ashley took, and then I think a buddy of mine kind of animated it. And then, we added a few things to it. And it's just a drink ticket shirt. Yeah, it's fun. It's cool. $30.
$30.
High quality.
You answered my question. $30.
But good quality. Good quality shirt, good quality design.
Nice. Is there...
Stimulates local economies. 15% of everything that gets sold goes to help.
Goes to help?
Me.
Okay.
So does 85%.
When Facebook and Instagram went down the other day, did you notice?
No.
No?
But I'm not posting a lot right now because I'm harvesting a lot of content of mine from the, like, everywhere, you know, there's just random reels and stuff of me up all over YouTube and Instagram, so, and all that kind of, so I'm just, like, going, I'm finding all of the, my focus with social media right now is to gather all of that stuff and then have it in one place.
Okay.
Collected and ready to post it. Like, because I'm kind of like scatterbrained with it, so I need to like reassess and So I did not notice, but if it happened, that's fucking crazy.
People were losing their minds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What happened?
People were, I'm still not even sure. It was Super Tuesday, so of course people were like, conspiracy. Facts. They're hiding facts.
Really?
I mean, I don't know.
That's fucking.
If you're waiting to the last minute to get your facts on who you're going to Super Tuesday, I think we're might be
I would agree
fucked
with that
anyway.
Statement.
So, I don't know.
That's fucking awesome.
But I know my wife texted me that day. What's going on? Like, honey, I don't know.
That's so funny.
Yeah, I checked my Facebook and it said I'd been logged out. And then I did a search, found out that's what a lot of people were seeing, that they'd been, it was telling them to log back in and then their login wasn't going to work. And my first reaction was, kind of want to see how long this lasts. Like, I'll admit, I'm back to checking Facebook every day, spending too much time.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know what. But when that happened, I was like, I hope this lasts a while.
I think we all know it's bad for us. Like, if there was like a tobacco shortage, everyone was supposed to be like, the benefit is that I can't do this. You know?
Yeah, same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep, same thing.
Yeah. Interesting.
I can't be stopped unless you take it away from me.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of problem with addiction, you know?
Yeah.
God. I was talking with a social media guy yesterday, and he was like, we were talking about how it's this tool that you have to use right now in comedy and stuff to like build your brand, which is true, I think, but it's also, I don't like it.
Sure.
You know, really that much. I'm not like opposed to it, but I don't like how consumed I can become with it, I guess. And it doesn't make me feel as good as alcohol. So.
I got a couple more questions, I think, before we wrap this up.
Yeah.
When your special came out, somebody, I don't know if it's yourself or somebody, has you go on and do all the big podcasts, right, to promote it?
Yeah, I was like trying to, not all of them. I wanted to get on a bunch of them, but I got on, you know, yeah.
You do the rounds. It used to be people would do like morning radio, and now it seems to be you try to get on the big podcast and whatnot, right? I caught some of them. You're a great podcast guest, of course.
Thank you.
Host as well. But one of them you did that I like was you made it weird.
Oh, with Pete.
Yes. Yeah. And one of the things you told him is that you watch other people's comedy specials.
Yeah. Try to do one a week. Try to do one a week.
Well,
Maybe a little more, sometimes a little less.
Do you have any idea how many of the guests I've tried to bring up about watching other people's specials, and so many are like, yeah, I don't do that. I don't want to steal ideas. I didn't listen to it for a long time.
I was like kind of in a dearth of absorbing them, but...
People get worried about taking excess.
That's part of
material.
It. You know, that's part of it. And Pete and I talked about that. Like, once you hear people like it kind of racing into your head, I think it's okay to. I think as a community, as comics, we really, really need to be absorbing other people. Like, and figuring out what we like about them, what we don't. You know, like, we're all so very self-obsessed with our own careers, and we need to be. Like, I'm not trying to be foolish about that, but. You can put out, like, there's so many people with the platforms right now that are, you know, like, who are putting other people on who have platforms, and that's okay. I get it. It makes sense. It's a business.
Mm-hmm.
But you might not want to have them on, and you could have somebody else on who you like more. You know what I mean? Like, and you could be a fan of. Or you can have them both on. Like, and the other thing is, like, right now, I think, like, a lot of people are getting put over. Which is great, like younger people and older, everywhere in between. Like younger comedians, meaning like less, doing it less time or like less known.
Yep.
It's good. And it's it goes well both ways. Oh, having people who have been on for a long time who just know how to, you know, who have good careers and have been not. I do think we should be knowing what they're doing. And I understand you can't take in every single person. Like, that's impossible.
No.
But I don't. There's so many people that are telling me that someone is great, or someone sucks, and they've not watched it. Either one of those is really bad.
Are you finding that talking to other comedians, if a name comes up, like you are sitting there going, you have experience of watching that person? Are you finding other people going, I mean, I hear, and everybody else?
Yeah, there's some of that
hand.
For sure. Yeah, for sure. And some people are. I'm trying to at least stick to my convictions as a performer and a comedian and an artist. And
it's fun being
if someone's like, this person's great.
Yeah.
I want to watch it, you know? And if they're like, if there's a big comic blowing up, like whomever it happens to be the hottest person in the moment, that's great too. I want to know if I actually like them though.
Yeah.
You know,
it's fun being in the know.
Yeah. And it's like, I'm not trying to be like some kind of fucking person who's a critic of everyone.
Right.
But I also want to know, like, if I think someone is interesting, I also want to be inspired by them and be like, that is very cool. I like that joke. I like the way they launched into it. And I do know enough about stand-up now, and I am more than good enough now to recognize how people are doing things fundamentally as comedians,
mm-hmm.
and what is interesting, what is exciting, what is not. Like, I see details pretty well in comedy. Like as a and I don't mean like just jokes and lines, but I'm like, oh, they got everything out of that bit. Like, they didn't just say, bop, 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 like, and then I fucked her. You know, like, you're like, they are doing the work in the joke.
Yep.
You know? As opposed to having a punchline that everybody can just easily recognize. So I like noticing that stuff in comedy. So that's one of the reasons I watch it. And one of the other reasons I watch it is like, man, it fucking sharpens your sword. There's people, like, watching great people will make you be a better comedian. Yeah. Being around bad comics will make you be a worse one.
I will say in my life, as someone that has been hosting a podcast for, you know, 10, 11, 12 years, I still... each week in anticipation of the podcast, I still get anxious. I still get a little nervous. I'm still like worried that it's not going to be good. And then a lot of times on my drive in, I will listen to someone else that I like doing a podcast and just having a conversation, and it calms me down. Like, oh, it's just just going to have a talk
with
somebody.
Yeah, you're like, oh, that was an interesting moment.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, there's ways to do it, like in any craft.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think the more you watch your peers, good ones and bad ones for that matter, like what you're absorbing really can help you make better stuff.
Yeah.
Good, even if you find it to be good or bad.
Absolutely.
Because I think I was talking with my friend Steve Rogers about this. He's a really great comic.
I only know him as Steve Big Dick Rogers.
Yeah, he's Huge Rod Rogers. is that I was telling him, I was like, I think the art we take in is as valuable as the art we make. If you look at comedians in a comparative sense to athletes' diets are like, you know, down to a T. That's how comedians should take in art. Like, that's the fuel.
I've never thought of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you
why
should
not?
Be taking in some of my favorite comics. Like, I went to a great museum. You know, they're doing something and absorbing. They're not like just obsessed with branding themselves out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's a great point.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great point. All right. Let's end it there. People need to come and see you this weekend at Acme.
When does this go up? Today?
Today.
Oh, how about that?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Come see me this weekend. Tonight's sold out.
Nice.
Saturday's getting really close. Friday, there's still some seats available, but it's getting closer, too. So get your tickets, acmecomedyclub.com, shadeisacomedian.com, No Accounting for Taste podcast, and I'm Shane Torres across the internet on all social media platforms. Follow me and watch my special, The Blue-Eyed Mexican. This camera is taping me, right? I'm not just looking at it? Okay. That would be so weird.
We stopped 10 minutes ago.
To give, like, a good plug like that, and then... Yeah, so come see the shows. This comes out tonight, baby. Acme Comedy Club, No Laugh Track Podcast.
Thank you, Shane.
Thanks for having me, man. It's always nice to see you.
Thanks, man.
Let's have sex.
Yes! Thank you so much for listening to No Laugh Track Podcast, the show with a new comedian headliner every single week with me, the host, Justin Severson. The show is produced in the heart of Minneapolis's North Loop neighborhood at the legendary Acme Comedy Club. You can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcast, Podbean, and watch the video version on our official No Laugh Track YouTube channel. Wherever you are enjoying the pod, remember, drop a like, leave a review, and please tell your friends about the show. And most importantly, come to Acme and see my show in person.